third-party harassment, under which workers will be able to sue over jokes and banter they find offensive, even if the comments are aimed at someone else and they weren't there at the time the comments were made. Laws. Some are good, and some, in my opinion, are downright stupid. I hope I don't offend anybody, but if I do, you can take me to whatever department deals with it. And there's a film just come out on Friday that I actually want to go and see. And it's called Made in Dagenham. Yeah? And it concerns women in the 1960s who worked at the Ford's factory, who were being paid less than the men. They were called unskilled workers. But when you listen to what they actually had to go through to actually work on the shop floor, they were quite skilled people. But Ford called them unskilled, so they didn't need to pay them as much as the men. So the women had enough and decided, right, I'm going out. So they left the shop floor. And eventually, Fords gave in. And this led to the situation we now live in today, that women are, or almost nearly always, do have equal rights where pay is concerned. 2 centuries ago, most of us here would not have the right to vote. Then came legislation that the working man could vote, because the vote was only for the landed gentry and those who actually had the money in the country. But then legislation came in to give the working man the vote, but not the woman. But then again, legislation came in so that women could vote. Governments, when you read history, have to change their minds. But does that mean then that we don't respect who the people are and what they do? When we look at the papers today, equal opportunities, health and safety, the NHS, transport, unions, war in Afghanistan and Iraq, these are issues that are on the front pages of every paper, day after day, bringing pessimism and despair for some, absolute furore and mirth depending on what is being discussed for others. What kind of society do we want to live in? And how would you change it? Could you be a Blair? Or could you be a Cameron? Or could you be a Miliband? Could you be a local councillor? What would you do to change things if you were given the power and authority? What is your view of government now and then? How would you change it? Or would you? "They're all at it," was the quote of many when the scandal broke about MPs' expenses. Actually, most of them were very honest about their expenses. It was the few who disappointed and cheated where their expenses were concerned. And didn't the press and most of us have a heyday discussing it? And I have to admit, I am quite cynical when it comes to politics and politicians of any kind. And I live in an age where now it's considered fair game for journalists of the paper kind and TV to seek out and destroy people's careers unfairly, but at sometimes justly. Now, when you listen to today's reading, what went on inside your mind? Did you take it in? Did you listen to it properly? Or did you say, and you know, sometimes scripture presents things to us and it surprises us and it says, and you think to yourself, oh, no, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that, Paul. You must be joking. What, in this situation or in that situation, if you live in Zimbabwe, if you live in China, if you live in Iraq, if you live in Iran, if you live in the UK, you must obey the state authorities. It makes you sit up and think, doesn't it? It makes you think how we as Christians have duties to the state in which we live. And that's what Paul is bringing out. Some of you may see, but our government, they're corrupt. They're fleecing the people. The poor are not being looked after. How can you ask us to obey the authorities? You pay your taxes because the authorities are working for God when they fulfill their duties. Taxes are really something that all of us really hate. Some people would say, what? Cash in hand is what I'm working for. People pay other people to work out how they can avoid paying tax, and some even evade paying tax. And the lawyers rub their hands when it comes to trying to explain the law because it's unexplainable. Because people want to get out of being responsible for other people. They just want to be responsible for themselves. Now, Paul, as Michael said last week, Paul is writing to Christians in Rome and he's telling them about the good news that Jesus has come to tell the world that God loves his world and its people, past, present and future, who need to know that he has died and rose again from the dead. He came to bring them back into relationship with the Father. They've now been put right with the Father through their faith. And Paul says there is now no condemnation for those who live in union with Christ. Because of all that God has done for them and us, he says, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God. Let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of mind. You are members each of the body, each person different, but part of the body, the whole. Loving, caring, hoping, sharing together, living at peace with one another, including your enemies. This is how you should be as a church. Then he hits them with this, because this is the part of the transforming of you and me, of the changing, the complete changing of our minds. Everyone must obey the state authorities, because no authority exists without God's permission. And the existing authorities have been put there by God. Wow. And it seems to me as if Paul is answering questions that maybe Christians in Rome have put to him. Because they're struggling with the authorities that they're under. Having to pay tax to a government that doesn't believe in their God, or using it in ways they don't like, or having to obey an authority that has put their country in subservience to them. What kind of world do you want to live in, says Paul? One in which chaos reigns, one where bullies and power brokers get what they want, or a world where human beings can live in an orderly life in a proper functioning society. Paul makes the point, and this is where the bishop says, civic rulers and authorities have been put in place by God. Romans 13, verse 1. Christians are called to believe that the civil authorities, great and small, are there because the one true God wants his world to be ordered, not chaotic. Government is necessary in our world, where evil flourishes when unchecked. God is interested in order, not chaos. He wants his world and its people governed fairly and justly. And he has delegated that authority to men and women, whether or not they are aware of that fact, whether or not they believe in him. God has given them that kind of responsibility. was the same in the Old Testament. One of the kings in the Old Testament was given responsibility by God, but he wasn't Jewish and he didn't follow Yahweh. But God gave him that responsibility and he was a good king. The question comes, doesn't it? What about Christians today? Should we not challenge the civil authorities at all? Should we not say to them? Should we just kind of say, oh yeah, you're right all the time? I don't think so. And I don't think that's what, you know, in a sense, Paul would say either, when you look at passages in the scripture. But he does abide by the law and challenges them lawfully. Should we not say, hey, you've got that wrong. Sorry, but you're not doing what you were elected to do. We have to learn as Christians to use the system and to use those who are elected to represent us, our MPs or our councillors. We are very fortunate in our country because we live in a democracy where we have the right to challenge and to speak up. So does everybody else, whether we agree with them or not. Sometimes we might do the right thing and find the rulers, the authorities, doing the wrong thing. And this is where Paul challenges the rulers and authorities, as he did when he travelled in his missionary journeys. You remember he was thrown into prison in Philippi. And I haven't got my glasses, as you can see, Maya. But he challenges the legal authorities. Paul said to the police officers, we were not found guilty of any crime, yet they whipped us in public. And we are Roman citizens. Then they threw us in prison. And now they want to send us away secretly. Not likely. The Roman officials themselves must come here and let us out. The police officers reported these words to the Roman officials, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were afraid. So they went and apologized to them. Then they led them out of the prison and asked them to leave the city. Paul used the system. He was a Roman citizen, and they had actually contravened his rights. In Acts 23, he's taken before Felix, and again his rights were contravened. And he said to them, I am a Roman citizen. You cannot treat me like this. You must treat me as the law of the Roman government authorities, as it were. So we have an example, don't we, of someone who challenges the system, but also writes that we have to obey the civil authorities. And it's not that he's disagreeing with what he's writing, but he's saying, use whatever you can lawfully. You still obey the authorities, but you are challenging them. And we as Christians have that right to challenge and to say, no, we think that's wrong. People get really hot under the collar sometimes, don't they, about things that happen in our society and things that we perceive as unfairness. I worked as a dinner lady at Elmwood School many years ago, and I think it was Croydon Council, or it might have been another council, I can't remember. But it was near Christmas, and the council said that we couldn't put a crib on Streatham Common. Do you remember it? We weren't allowed to put a crib on Streatham Common because it could be offensive to people of other faiths. Well, it wasn't. They didn't go and ask the people I worked with, the Muslim mothers who I worked with, to say, is this an offence to you? Because they said to me, why do they do this, Norma? Why are you not allowed to put a crib on Streatham Common? And I said, well, they get a bit stupid sometimes. Because they think what we do is going to be an offence to you. Not at all. Not at all. And most Muslims would not be offended. You always get the minority who are. But, you know, there are things that we should perhaps have challenged. Maybe we did at the time, I can't just remember. But there are certain things where we say we have to make a stand. We live in a so-called Christian country. And where it does not offend people, then we can say, please, we would like this. Tabernacle House used to have a cross projected on it. Now it's not allowed. Why? I don't know absolutely whether it's not allowed. Maybe I'm not representing them properly. But, you know, they're very simple things, aren't they? There may be other things where we feel that we have to make a stand. Margaret wrote to the Prime Minister. Did you know that? Mr. Cameron. And she wrote about that couple who are held in Somalia by the bandits. And she wrote to ask what the government were doing about it. I think that's great. More of us ought to be writing. But they wrote a letter back to her. I don't know which desk it landed on. But they wrote a very nice letter back and explained certain things. They couldn't tell her, you know, that the spooks were going in and they were going to get them out straight away, because that's not how it happens. They work quietly undercover, don't they? And that things were happening, but, you know, just to keep on thinking about the Chandlers. But there's somebody who cared and who wanted to say something and did it. So there are exceptional circumstances when Christians must put obedience to God first before submission to human authorities. Evil is to be resisted. And in countries where you don't have, say, a democratic government, there are times when evil has to be resisted. Not with guns, obviously. But perhaps ways in which you can bring people together. Like sometimes in the church in Zimbabwe. Some in the church in Zimbabwe stand with the state. Others are challenging. And as I've said before, should Christians meekly toe the line? I don't think so. Jesus too made it clear what our duties were to the state. But that comes later. We must obey God rather than men. Our allegiance to secular authority is certainly not absolute, but it should be there. And I want to tell you a very short story about a man. He was a theologian, a great theologian called Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I know him because we studied a little bit about him at college many years ago. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German theologian, a very important theologian in the late 1930s, early 40s. And he had gone to America to lecture. And he was coming home, and people in America pleaded with him not to return to Germany because it was too dangerous for him. But he said he must go back to his people and share with them what was happening in his own country. And it is said that Dietrich Bonhoeffer was one of the members who plotted to kill Hitler. He was a man who obeyed the authority of the government that he lived under. But here was a man who also tussled with his conscience. He was put in prison just before, maybe 1943, 44, I can't remember. But either a week or a month before the end of the war, he was taken out and hanged. Because of his opposition to Hitler, because of his Christian faith, because of his belief in Jesus Christ. Christians, to my mind, should speak out against things that are unfair in our society, should challenge the government and local authorities of the day. But in doing so, we also acknowledge that they only have their authority because God has allowed it, and they are put there for our good. No tax fiddling for Christians, says Paul. Part of being a good citizen is to pay your dues, your taxes. It is our duty to God, he writes. And as Christians, our responsibility is to pay our dues, Taxes are essential for the maintenance of law and order and to make life for all our citizens more just. It's part of our duty as a citizen to pay our taxes so that the services that we need in our society and in their society, says Paul, can function properly for all of us. This is an echo of the words of Jesus, isn't it? Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. When he was asked that question, you know, I think they'd kind of laid a trap for him because they thought that he might have said, no, don't pay your taxes to the Romans. We are Jews, we don't do it. But Jesus, you know, came back with that retort, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Our Christian duty to the state and also to pay our taxes. It's our duty to give honour and respect to those who carry governmental responsibilities and to pray for them. I wouldn't like it. I wouldn't like to run a country. Mind you, I don't know whether I'd make a good job or a bad job, but I don't think I'd like it. I don't think you'd like it either if I did. They need our encouragement and support in establishing what is good and right for all. So in your prayers this coming week, pray for our government. Some of you may even want to pray for your governments abroad, where you come from. Pray for them. They need our prayers. And pray that as they work, they will be honest and faithful as they carry out their duties. And when you go home today and sit at the table having your roast dinner or whatever it is you have, have a discussion about this morning's sermon. It might have enraged you, I don't know. It might have challenged you. It might have cemented your views, I don't know. But I do hope that it has made you think and opened up your mind to what is our responsibility as Christians under whatever kind of authority we live under. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we have the opportunity to read your word. And sometimes it's so surprising, Lord, what we read and what you ask of us. But when Paul wrote in Romans 12 about the complete transforming and a complete change of our mind, he then follows up with our duties as Christians. So help us to pray for our government, to pray for our local council, to pray for a right and just system in our country, one that we can trust, not one that we feel is not working for the people. And Lord, help us most of all to be subject to your authority, Lord. And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.